Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Mike Hopkins of Vet Talk Radio Show. I'd like to welcome you to the show, and Carrie Hines, take it away.
Hi everybody, this is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
This is Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello everybody, I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Hair Radio.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio.
He's the host with the most. Mr. Carrie Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carafe Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Oh,
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
So fill us in on all of that and how it all came about.
Okay. All right. So Cynthia Bailey doll, it's more of a positive empowerment piece that I'm trying to put out to the world to young girls. My school, the Bailey Agency School of Fashion, most of my students are very young. I mean, I have them coming to me as young as 5 years old, up until, 30 years old. But my core students usually range between the ages of 5 and 13. And I grew up playing with dolls, and I didn't have any dolls that looked like me or that were even black. I had my dolls, my Barbie dolls were white with blonde hair, and I completely could not relate to them. And I thought, this would just be a great way to just put out something that young girls can relate to that's positive, and just another way to empower and inspire young girls.
It sounds just wonderful. And those dolls are available, correct?
Yes, they are. You can get the Cynthia Bailey doll on the website, CynthiaBaileyDoll.com, CynthiaBaileyDoll.com.
So fill us in on all of that and how it all came about.
Okay. All right. So Cynthia Bailey doll, it's just more of a positive empowerment piece that I'm trying to put out to the world to young girls. My school, the Bailey Agency School of Fashion, most of my students are very young. I mean, I have them coming to me as young as 5 years old, up until, 30 years old. But my core students usually range between the ages of 5 and 13. And I grew up playing with dolls, and I didn't have any dolls that looked like me or that were even black. I had my dolls, my Barbie dolls were white with blonde hair, and I completely could not relate to them. And I thought, this would just be a great way to just put out something that young girls can relate to that's positive, and just another way to empower and inspire young girls.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
The shop money is fast money, and if you're wise, you'll stash the money, because eventually you'll get burnt out. Now your pocket's looking funny. Never saw it coming because you've been balling since 24. Do one-hand designer shoes all day, now your knees sore. Create your exit plan or you'll be stuck in the trap. Like selling dope, the money come fast, and with no plan, it's a wrap. Miss your kids growing up trying to stack that paper. Now they're grown and you missed out on their life, and I hope they don't hate you. The shop will make you money, but it can leave you blind. Taking that thing that you can't get back, and that's called time. Taking trips to the hair show, yeah, that's sweet, but then you gotta rush back to the shop to stand on your feet. I'm just trying to school this generation the best that I can. Ball out and stack that paper, make sure you got an exit plan. The hair game is like a trap, money falling in your lap. God forbid you get sick, now your clientele off track. You better get you some insurance, and that's just something you can't dodge, cause you mess around and you get sick, now you're forced to get a job. You buy your kids everything just to compensate for the time lost. Traded in the best years of their life just to call myself a boss.
All right, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and I have to say, I'm here in Brooklyn, New York, of course, at the Natural Hair Fest, but what is really kind of jumping out at me this morning, I had the opportunity to meet a wonderful psychologist. who has been really sharing her thoughts on this, certainly on the challenges of so much mental illness and so many things that are out there that have now become almost trendy to talk about, which I guess is a good thing in that way. But first, why don't you just remind everybody, introduce yourself and tell a little bit about yourself.
So my name is Courtney Ray. I'm originally from the Bronx. I am now living in Weehawken, New Jersey. I have a private practice, Array Psychological Assessment, and it's found at apamind.com, and I specialize in lifespan psychology. And I really have a lot of people from all over who come to see me and who are seeking some help because they are looking specifically for Black psychologists.
Now, what is lifespan psychology? What exactly is that?
So that means that there are some people who will specialize with geriatric populations, some people who specialize with pediatric populations, but I kind of do all ages, so from young people all the way up to our elderly population, our older adults.
Why is it such something that I'm noticing that is so, it's out there now? This used to be something, and especially in the African-American community, that was very hush-hush. We didn't talk much about mental challenges, if you will, and certainly not mental illness and all that. But now folks are opening up. Is that good or what?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's very it's refreshing to hear younger people when they talk about some of their challenges, that they don't have some of the burdens that some of the older generations have had traditionally, where it's been taboo to talk about some of these things. And I get a lot of young people who come to me for assessments for difficulties with school, because sometimes kids struggle alone because they don't understand that there's nothing wrong with them, that they are not broken, and that they can actually reach out for help. And so it's good when they talk to their parents and their parents are willing to bring them, or when I get young adults who are like in college who will come to get assessments to find out like, hey, is there something that can help me in these challenges? And they are willing, and I'm so happy to see that they're willing to get help.
I've got to tell you, there has been so much that folks don't realize. In my opinion, again, I'm a layman, but when I think about what folks are going through, and I say, my goodness, lack of inclusivity, all kinds of extraordinary, extraneous things that, especially politically speaking, and politicizing so much, and I think it's caused so many problems, and I think that's what folks are kind of trying to navigate.
Yeah.
So I'm going to blame folks out there, okay? But maybe it's not about blame.
Well, it's not about blame, but we do, especially as a people, have a lot of collective trauma, because when we see things happen to one of us, it is like vicariously affecting all of us. And so even if it's not somebody that you know personally, when you see some of these things happening, it still has an effect on you. And even, you know, we're here at the Natural Hair Fest, right? Things like inclusivity or excluding people of color. And I was just reading an article about like the actors in their the contract that they just got, and one of the things that they were negotiating for was hair and makeup that caters to Black people, because for a long time Black actors have not had the ability to get people who were there on set to do their hair. That's such a simple thing.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. What I'm going to say to those folks, you need to listen to the Hair Radio Morning Show, because, yeah, we just had Camille Friend, who was nominated for an Academy Award on our show. She was also in my last issue of Afrolock magazine. She did the hair and makeup for Wakanda Forever and The Little Mermaid.
Yes.
So the Hair Radio, this is where folks come to first.
Yes.
So we're so excited. From everybody, like I was just telling folks who've been on our show, from Dionne Warwick and Melba Moore Old School, mm-hmm. to Beyonce's dad, to the Gorilla Glue Girl doctor, to I've had everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody. If you were somebody in the hair and beauty world,
yes.
you dropped by the Hair Radio Morning Show, amongst so many others. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you for taking a moment to share, because folks really need. We gotta get some help out here. Okay, so how do folks find you? Is that okay that you could share with their with everybody?
Yeah, so my website again is APA Mind, so that's APAMIND.com, and I'm a race psychological assessment. So anyone who is in the New York City metropolitan area or northern New Jersey, come by and see me.
It gets no better than that. All right, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
But then it's like, you know, I'm kind of wondering, do they know how Carrie Hines fits into this? Because you have been part of a media, I won't say frenzy, you've been part of the media and made some very, very important inroads and, you know, connections. That I think that somebody needs to explore and write about or talk about or tell about. So I'm thankful that you're going to help me look back and kind of document some of the things that you have contributed to media and some of the people and lives that you've touched, because I think it's really important and people don't know because you're so humble. And if you would, just indulge me and share with the listeners some of the things that you do as Carrie Hines.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of The Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, "Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned hair care challenge." And tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
We have a very special guest with us today. She is an author.
the Hair Radio Morning Show would like to welcome Miss Gloria Lee. Gloria, welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
I thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, it is my pleasure to finally get you on our broadcast. Now, I have to just jump right on in. You are the reason we're celebrating the Women of Courage Month all month long. And I like to say this, it's not just this month, but it's every day here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So we want to start by you telling the folks all about your beautiful books. You've got two, and they're titled Women of Courage. So let's start with book one. Tell us a little bit, what exactly is Women of Courage all about? Tell us.
I began writing the books because I wanted women to understand how much courage it takes to be a woman. See, our courage is not acknowledged. Men acknowledge their courage. They speak about courage on the battlefield. They speak about courage being a minister. But female courage has never been acknowledged. And that's wrong, and it has been used to enslave women because it does not let women understand the power that they have inside them. And I began writing the books because I wanted women to see other women who have succeeded because they had courage. So I had began to research my mission, actually, when this first started, was to find out why men killed women. So I began researching that. But as I began to research, I began to gather other information, and I began to see that part of the problem was the fact that women did not acknowledge themselves. Women have been told that they're servants, that they're supposed to serve. Correct. That's fine. But they haven't been told that they have a right to be their own person. And because of that, women live desperate lives. They live lives that they hate. They learn to despise themselves. And in turn, they are unhappy. For years, especially between 1920, 1950, women either drank in the basement, they'd have a little sherry every day, and then when tranquilizers became part of the vogue, especially for white women, okay, they began, the white doctors would prescribe them tranquilizers. This was based on the theory that women were hysterical, okay? So this part of their spirit had to be controlled through medication. But actually, what was happening is women were internalizing their anger and their rage because they were forced to live lives that they did not want.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. We are making black progress. Stay tuned.
And I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Jones, Vaughn of the Sways, Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
I was just thinking, and, you know, that's a very dangerous thing for me, but I was thinking about some directions of media, especially, and some of the moguls. One was featured recently on one of my favorite other shows, the Sunday Morning, and they were talking about Byron Allen and all the things that he's done with media. and they exactly. had something with Robert Townsend and uh-huh. Keenan Wayans and all this stuff, even, you know, Camu Bell and Spike Lee. And I thought, wow, those are, you know, impressive people in, you know, in my little mind. But then it's like, you know, I'm kind of wondering, do they know how Carrie Hines fits into this? Because you have been part of a media, I won't say frenzy, you've been part of the media and made some very, very important inroads and, you know, connections that I think that somebody needs to explore and write about or talk about or tell about. So I'm thankful that you're going to help me look back and kind of document some of the things that you have contributed to media and some of the people and lives that you've touched, because I think it's really important and people don't know because you're so humble. And if you would, just indulge me and share with the listeners some of the things that you do as Carrie Hines.
Mary, just to even hear you speak of me like that is just, I can't even begin to tell you how profound that is. And when you mentioned folks like Byron Allen, I caught the tail end of that about Byron Allen. And I, on this amazing Sunday news program that I watch, and I'm going to Google it so I can see the whole piece, because I'm so motivated by individuals like Mr. Allen and so many others who demand to be treated with respect and demand that our community is respected with regards to broadcasting and communication and recognizing the talents and contribute, you know, what we've contributed. And so I'm all in. And I also want to extend the same kind of greeting to you and what you've been able to accomplish, Mary Reed Johnson, and with Hair, Head, Heart. So thank you. Thank you very much for that wonderful intro.
Absolutely. And there's so many ways that we can start, but I'm thinking I'll start with kind of the 6 degrees of separation yes. because I know you've had some of these topics and you've addressed them before they were, you know, addressed by you know, some names that, you know, may have ties with whatever media source. And so let's maybe start with one. Let's talk about Cosby. And, you know, the show that you did, how did you come up with the idea to even approach that? And this was, you know, light years. I know who Camu Bell is, of course, but light years before this project was going, I think you had already addressed it. I mean, it went as it was unfolding. So how did you even exactly. come up with that, you know, feeling that pulse that maybe it needed to have a discussion?
Well, first, Mary, thank you so much. And I just want to preface all this by saying I don't know where Mary is going with whatever she wants to know, but the annals are open. Our archives are open, and I told her she has free rein to ask me anything that she wishes for you guys to know. So I'm glad you mentioned this. We did a piece called About Cosby and talking about Cosby. And I remember the graphic and the whole idea. And I had this inspiration from, you know, let me preface everything by saying let's go back to listen back for a moment on this, because a lot of what we do at Hair Radio and the Hair Radio Morning Show is steeped in coverage or revisiting topics and things that might make the general broadcast media a tad on the uncomfortable side. And it's not meant to do that. It's not designed to do that. It is for us to be able to be offer a bit of realism to the Black experience. And we welcome everybody to that experience. Doesn't matter who you are, what race or nationality or any of that stuff. But we wanted to take a look. I notice for the most part that when I look at media I see a divide. I see that there is a way that it appears to me anyway, that, you know, folks outside of our community, you know, will listen or view discussions or topics or what have you, and folks that are inside of our community will view and listen and weigh in on different topics. And it can be largely said, of course, folks with shared experiences tend to have similar beliefs and all of that. So I can understand that. And folks outside of the community are looking inside, or looking from the outside to what they perceive to be how we are. So that's kind of how that is. So when you are telling a story, whether it's my show or the general media out there, you're telling it from that perspective. And if you don't have folks from this community, from our community, being part of those stories being told, well, they're not going to really tell it with the kind of real cultural connection that it needs to have. I'll give you a quick case in point, then I'll circle back to your question about Cosby. I was watching, like during the month of February, you'll always hear of Black History Month, and that's all wonderful and great. But I noticed a lot on local news, whenever that month comes around, and this is a good lesson for any time that you're listening to this wonderful piece today, but what I've noticed is that oftentimes the discourse or what the local news is doing, they're not really telling you stories about Black history. They will take a story about a person, a Black person of note, who might now be running a cookie stand or whatever, and they will talk about that on their newscast and then put the moniker or the banner up there, Black History Month or what have you, when the real truth is all that they are doing is doing what they should be doing anyway, which is inclusivity about African Americans, just like other cultures should be represented. And so, but the thing is, it's not Black history. It's Black people, yep. But it's not really Black history. If you want to talk about what the contributions of our ancestors have done for America, then talk about that. But you're not, you know, they think that just by showing Black people and putting the banner Black, you know, that already tells me who's in your newsroom and what your discourse is doing. And where there's a disconnection. So I don't want to be part of that, which is not organic for me. I want an organic experience each morning, and I want that experience to be shared by the folks who tune in. So there are, I've never wanted to just, you know, when I like just to look at the shows and not, you know, even if they have Black people on their newscast, I'll tell you, you know, there's not an organic feeling for me. It's just, I see folks, and my favorite one is where you'll have folks who may be Black, who where folks outside the community look and they think they're kind of maybe not Black, and I'm looking at them thinking that they kind of might be Black, and somebody else is, because they, it's like I call them real, invisible kind of, that can fit into anybody's mindset.
It's a commitment to whether it's community or colorization or perspective or heart. All of those, you know, are things that you can, you know, paint and make it seem if like XYZ, even though in reality it's not too hard to scratch that surface and see the reality, which is that more than 98% of the media comes from an exclusive source. We'll just put it that way.
Exactly.
And so this is not a new story, but what I like about Hair Radio Network and what you do, Carrie, is that you are more genuine and don't seem to be afraid to have whomever, whatever story, and it's their story, you know, and you know, you invite them to present it, and I think that's very healthy. And again, you haven't been, it's not like your first time at the rodeo. You've been doing this for what, 29 years or thereabouts? How long have you been?
Somewhere around there. we'll park it on that one. That's a good number to park
okay,
it on.
Okay.
But Mary, I do in closing on that, I do want to just mention that, you know, my whole point was that you have these different newsrooms locally who generally don't include folks of, I don't see it with my eyes so much, especially here in my market, with the darker hues. And but what I will find are folks who are totally the opposite, where it just does, it's not inclusive. And you feel that when you look at these things. And this is something that seems to be missing across the board, generally speaking. Now, when it comes to the Cosby conversation, that was my whole reason for thinking about Cosby, first of all, because when I thought about this and had the inspiration, it was from he had just been sent off to prison. You could see in the news coverage that to say it was slanted is like is the understatement of the year. And so it was in the midst of all of the confrontations.
Me
with,
Too moment.
The Me Too type movement and all of these things bubbling up to the surface. But there was a tinge of, of other conversations that seemed to be the discourse that they were trying to bring to the surface, and that was color. And so with Bill Cosby's story, and again, he had just been sent off to prison, and the negative onslaught, and this is not to discuss whether or not he's innocent, as far as I'm concerned, or guilty. I have no idea. But what I do know is that the from my perspective, the lens was very different from what seemed to be, again, the folks inside versus outside the community. So as we moved along with his story that we've been kind of brought into this with local news media and the coverage of it, I just kind of thought that it was time to visit this after he had been away for some time, incarcerated. So I thought it was a good time that we should brush off this story that seemed to be, as far as the discourse I got from the media, was to lock him up, throw away the key.
Right. Not to say whether he's guilty or innocent. I mean, everybody's guilty of something. Everybody's, you know, just being responsible for your actions, whether you positioned yourself in someone's lair or, you know, whatever. I'm not going to retry that. But I also want to look at the concept of character assassination, and I want to look at the stereotypes, and I want to look at people being responsible and not responsible, on and on and on. There's just a myriad of directions we could go. But for him, one of the things that I would say, because you mentioned colorization, he was the first one, like they can pinpoint that this was the first leading black actor. He wasn't a subservient, he wasn't a lackey, whatever. He had equal footing with his co-actor, I guess, in I Spy, Robert Culp, right? They had equal roles, basically, and, you know, a little trendy. But he actually saw somebody being painted up in blackface who was going to be his stunt double for whatever episode, and he stood up and he's like, well, I'm thinking there's somebody who you could get, who's already black, you know, that type of thing. So he opened up the door for that. He opened up the door for actors of all hues and all ages. You know, he did a lot of good. So to say that he's an imperfect person, I'm not necessarily shocked. I'm not necessarily saying he wasn't acting in some cultural ways that were accepted at the time. But the punishment and the crime don't seem to fit I'm not going to judge that, but I'm looking at the good that he did as a black man in a very I want to say disadvantaged, but an unequal setting, and he still stood up and he still did good and right things, just like Hazel Scott. And, you know, we have more than one, but he had his longevity and the numbers of paths that he opened up for other people, clean comedians, you know, all kinds of things. I think that those just shouldn't be thrown out with the bathwater. You can't undo the good that he did, you know. So I think if people take a listen to that discussion, I think they will be reminded of all the layers that go into being a celebrity and all the layers that go into being a black celebrity, and even the more layers and amounts of courage that it takes to be a black celebrity who recognizes that you do have some power and to use it properly. When I say properly, I mean for the positive of mankind, or, you know, humanitarian efforts. And, you know, they could have totally just blown him away and, you know, we never heard of who Bill Cosby was again, but it didn't work out that way. So, you know, I applaud you for giving him some space and having a discussion about, you know, the good and the bad. So I just wondered where it came from. Yeah.
And Mary, that is that's exactly what happened. We wanted to take a look, and someone needed to mention the contributions. I'm from Philadelphia, so I grew up looking at every corner, and there's Temple University, and there is, there's a very deep, profound feeling that you know Bill Cosby, that he's connected to, he's from Philly, he's connected to Philly, and this was, for all of us, we had that kind of pride. But the thing that really resonated was that he had done so much in the education sphere. And so, yes, again, this is not to try guilty. We don't know. I don't know. That's not my thing. I'm able to make that discernment about being able to see if to really look at the good. And that is something that is incredibly important. So, Mary, thank you for that. Oh, boy, you just opened up with a bang this morning. Okay.
Well, it's your show. I know that you have it, and I know that people need to know about it. So where did you come up with some of your titles for Hair Radio Morning Show? Because you've got the network, right? You've got the show. You have just a variety of parts of your brand. So expand on some of, you know, how one part of your brand led to the next part.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you mentioned this, Mary, because folks are, sometimes they can, you know, we have similar titles with everything, and everything is radio and hair, and you're not sure if you're listening to the radio show or a recorded podcast or the live show or a 24-hour network. So we have all the above. And let me just tell you, I'm so pleased that you ask it this way, because it started out as the Hair Radio Show. And Hair Radio at that time was one word, so it was HAIRADIO, the Hair Radio Show. So it was literally three words. Hair Radio was a made-up word. I later down the road separated it. But at that time, it was HAI Radio, the Hair Radio Show. And so no one could find it. So I said, okay, I got to separate the word hair from radio at that time in terms of the broadcast. And we started out of Newark, New Jersey on the station WNJR, which was located in downtown Newark, New Jersey. And that's on AM radio. So it's called AM and FM radio. It's called terrestrial radio. So I started on terrestrial radio. Folks, you know, these days they start on the internet. They're starting on the podcast.
Right.
I predated all of that. So I started on an AM station with the Hair Radio Show. And that was a fluke. I had already been producing radio shows. I started with a show on the West Coast for kids, and then came back to the East Coast and started a
program. Go back to that. Was that the Fuzzy Bear?
Well, it was actually, it was our version. It was my own thought. It was called Fluff the Bear. Fluff the Bear was, and I'll tell you that story too. It's a very interesting story. But I have to say it really was the beginning of my whole journey. So, and I've never really told this story, and then I'll circle back to why and how we got to Hair Radio and the names and all of that. But yes, when I moved out to California, because I'm from Philadelphia, folks, again, just as a reminder as I just mentioned, I'm from Philly. And so I went out to the West Coast, to L.A., to Los Angeles, to just kind of, you know, get out to the sunshine. I'd always wanted to. I'd traveled there many times working in the airlines. I said, let me give it a try. So I moved out to the West Coast back in the 90s and started work for one of the major airlines, a legacy airline carrier, which just means one of the old big-time airlines, and got with my coworkers. And I was inspired to create a children's character, and I was inspired by one of my friends who went to this super expensive school that you guys on the West Coast, all of my friends out in California, you know the school is USC. And there weren't a whole lot of, you know, wealthy black kids out there who were going to USC. You know, you had to have money, essentially, was my take on the folks, the kids that went to USC at the time. And so my friend, who was ironically from New Jersey also, here on the East Coast, that I met out there in L.A., and so shouting out the folks in Hackensack, New Jersey. So my friend John, and I got to talk with John. John wrote, I was so proud of him. I'd never met anybody around my age who worked for Billboard magazine on the West Coast out in L.A., which produces the Hollywood Reporter newspaper even to this day. They're still the same people on Wilshire Boulevard. Which I lived off of Wilshire in L.A. And so John was working for, you know, Billboard magazine. And he had been, they paid him extra, I guess, because he was already working there, to interview Queen Latifah. So I'm looking at
who?
His article, Queen Latifah. She's an actress and rapper from, she's still out there doing a lot of things. And this was in the 90s, and Queen Latifah was mainly a rap superstar at that time. And so they put him in Billboard magazine with this huge picture, and it's still available on the internet too, by the way, this article that he did. And so I was so proud of John. I was like so proud. And I said, if John, now John was also going to school at USC, as I mentioned. And so I was like, wow, if he can do this, there's got to be something I can do. And so I went into, out in L.A., they have the apartment. And out there, it's a little different than here where I am in Brooklyn, New York, and probably out there where you are as well, Mary. But on the West Coast, out in L.A., the apartments all have like a little dressing room. So you may have, you've got a bathroom, and then you have a separate dressing room, which usually your bathroom lets into, and then you go into the rest of your apartment. Those were many of the apartments. You folks out there in L.A. know what I'm talking about. Well, that's very different here. I have never been into an apartment or even a house or anything on the East Coast that has a separate dressing room like that, unless you've got a mansion somewhere. So out there, that was the typical, all these old apartments have that. So I went into my dressing room in Los Angeles, and recorded a children's show. I just said, you know what, let me just, I literally, in those days, you'd have a tape recorder. And I took a tape recorder and just told the story of something that was off the top of my head. And I made up a story being so influenced by, and I'll say that influence was from Winnie the Pooh, obviously, when I was a kid,
right.
That my mom bought me those stories. So I came up with the idea of Fluff the Bear. I never made that connection at the time, but looking back, and as we are now listening back, But yeah, I created the Fluff the Bear story on an audio tape, audio cassette for you guys from the last century, or the last couple centuries. Yeah, so I created a story called Fluff the Bear, in which I was telling the story of a little child, a bear, who has great friend or these two little friends, and he went on a journey to fall asleep. So that was the whole story. Mm. That was the crux. Remember, it's for kids. You don't have to make it War and Peace. It just has to make sense to the little ones. And we didn't really talk down to them. We enjoyed telling a story that the whole family could listen to. And so I took this idea to my colleagues at the airline, and the airline allowed us, supported us. They did a big article of me in their magazine, their aircraft airplane magazine. So you guys
know
the
airplane. Oh, I remember those, yes.
You remember the back seats of each airline, you know, you
yes.
sit there and pull up. Well, I was on page 3. I'll never forget it for that month. And along with my colleagues at the airline. So we would voice the stories. And that led to so many other things. But largely, they had a plaque of me on the airline wall of my accomplishments. Mm-hmm. So the magazine. They had the picture, which I'll share with everybody. I put it on social media. I'll put it on our website at hairradio.com for everybody. But what was so astonishing is that no other employee had a plaque on the wall at the airline except me. And when I would fly on the airplane, you know, I would travel back from L.A. to my home, my family and stuff on the East Coast. They would announce that I was on the airplane and to turn to page 3 so they could read the article, and everybody would clap on the airplane. Well, that did it for me. So that's how I kind of that kind of really brought me into it. And, you know, to think, and so I thank John for inspiring me to create Fluff the Bear. That went on to the success at the airline. And then the big news is, the airline wanted me to develop audio content for the airplane for children. So that
oh, wow.
led me to go to end up on Sunset Boulevard in L.A. At the same building where Atlantic Records was at the time. You guys, you know, may remember Atlantic Records. So I went out mm-hmm. to that building and because somehow I got connected with a public relations firm. Back in those days, I didn't know PR. I didn't know what a publicist was like anybody else. I was just like, you know, just going through life. And so I got connected with a public relations firm. And I remember going in that building and on the elevator looking out and seeing Atlantic Records on one of the floors on Sunset and going up to the PR firm. And there were no black faces. Let me just be honest with everybody. There were none. And I sat in a conference room. They all came in, and they connected me with an outfit that took radio. They had their own radio network, which I still remember. And they took my children's cassette idea, my children's cassette, and turned it into a radio commercial. And they put that mm-hmm. commercial of my cassette onto 875 station advertisements. So we were in
wow.
875 markets talking about Fluff the Bear cassettes and the commercial, you know, the radio show and the, you know, get your own commercial. I'm sorry, buy your own cassette. So that was my first time being out in 875 markets at the beginning of this and the 90s. And so from there, I was discovered in part by, I took that and turned it into a weekly theater show. And the gentleman who was one of the stars of the Amos and Andy TV show, now remember this is Los Angeles, he had
wow.
opened up and created a very respected live performing theater called the Ebony Showcase in Los Angeles. And he was there with his wife and his daughter Valerie. And his name was Nicholas Stewart was one of the stars of Amos and Andy. So I went to the theater. He loved me. They loved me there. And I got to know his family. And he allowed me to put on a Fluff the Bear live performing show on Saturdays, and that's what I did. So I had the radio show. By the way, the public relations firm introduced me to a radio station out in Glendale, California. So I was able to put on the very first radio show that was on that in L.A. anyway, at 7:30 in the evening, called the Fluff the Bear Radio Show. From there, that was all running kind of simultaneously with the theater show from Nick Stewart Theater, called, again, the Ebony Showcase Theater. What I loved about Ebony Showcase Theater, and again, you mentioned about the 6 degrees, is that one of the board of trustees, Nick Stewart had all these black celebrities as trustees of his theater, his board of trustees. And one of those individuals was, of course, guess who? Bill Cosby.
Bill. Oh, my.
Bill Cosby. So there you go, Miss Mary.
Wow.
Now
we're listening to Air Radio Network? Or which one are we? Hair Radio Morning Show?
Well,
which degree are we in right now, Gary?
Well, that's the thing, and I wanted to spell out the beginning. So that's how the Hair Radio Show had started. So I got that impetus when I returned back home. I took the success from all those cassette sales, moved back to the East Coast, and opened up office space in downtown Newark, New Jersey. And that's where I had my own staff. I had all kinds of folks helping me at that time with two assistants. And again, upstairs in Newark, it was really nice. Now, so I created the Hair Radio Show at that time. And the Hair Radio Show was really just the idea of taking, I thought I would just have a hairstylist or two give out some hair tips. And that would be it. So I assembled a staff. Most folks don't know that I didn't host the first hair radio show, even on my own production.
Well,
I had taken four hairstylists. Two were doing what in those days we called natural hair, which is what it is, still is. But they would do like locks and twists. That's what they were known for in Orange, New Jersey. And one lady, she was in Montclair, New Jersey, and she would talk about, like, the cosmetology side of hair care. Mm-hmm. And then I had another gentleman who was a barber, but I think he also did, like, natural hair, but he was, like, a barber in that realm. And the four of them, along with, I just produced the show, the first hair radio show, I just produced it. And they would talk, and they were wonderful. I love them so very much. But you're looking back at a lens now that's very different than in 1995. In 1995, we all had to be in the same room to produce a radio show like that, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So you could dial in, but you had to go off to a radio station in those days. So it was so hard to connect everybody who was in different places. And they were awesome. I love them so very much. I wonder whatever happened to them. I'm going to see if I can find them
to say hi.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'm going to try to do that. I'm so glad we're having this discussion this morning on the Hair Radio Show. But, yeah, that's how I started. And the only reason I said, well, I love the hairstylist giving tips, but let me see if maybe I could do it since I couldn't get everybody as often as I wanted to, and I had schedules and things like that to adhere to for the radio stations that we were on down in Newark, New Jersey. And so I said, I'll take over the hosting if they'll accept me. I'm thinking, you know, as far as the public is concerned, I said, because I can look at it from the novice's point of view, which is probably it's the angle anyway that I wanted to have. I wanted to ask the questions genuinely that folks who need to know, you know, would like to know. It's the same thing I wanted to know. And that's what I did. Mm-hmm. I started with that in mind, and I took over the reins of host of my own show and creation for the Hair Radio Show, and that's how I started. But, Mary, with that impetus, or with the thought anyway, that I was providing content for just the general public, I had no idea that we were going to be taken over, so to speak, by professionals in the industry, by the product companies, by all kinds of folks coming on board, by the entertainment folks even hijacked us. But I had
Talk about some of the products. Yeah, talk about some of the product connections and people in the industry that have appeared or that you've worked with on Hair Radio Network.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and also just to wrap it up so you know what happened after that, because we went from the three-word title, The Hair Radio Show, to the actual kind of like five-word title, which is The Hair Radio Morning Show. So as I said, back in 95, the Hair Radio Show was created, and I'm very proud of that. And we started again with folks, you know, the general public providing tips. But as we moved along, I left the industry, and I wasn't as steeped in the hair industry. Let me just say that at that time. I got inspired by the folks at Bronner Brothers, which I'm shouting out the Bronner Brothers folks. I'm great friends with Bernard Bronner and all the people these days. But when I started, I didn't know them. So I went to the Bronner Brothers event down in Atlanta at that time and had a chance. I was so inspired by seeing so many amazing people of color assembled, great music blasting.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
Everybody, I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Kerry Hines is the longest running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com, because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio. And welcome back to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Kerry, over to you.
All right. Thank you, Angela. It is Wednesday morning. It's November 29th of 2023. I'm Kerry Hines. We are live mid-show in our second hour. Let me bring to the line my co-star. You guys know her so well. out of Water Valley, Mississippi, the one and only Queen of the Morning, Miss Nicole Marie.
Good morning.
What a greeting.
And happy
so
mid-show.
Early. Yes.
Yes, thank you so much, Gary.
My pleasure.
How are you this morning?
Doing great. Midweek, mid-show, and all that wonderful good stuff. Been really working hard on today's broadcast. It's been an incredible experience. Yeah, there's so many folks we've had on. I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah.
We played a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Really good stuff.
That sounds wonderful.
I think so, too. For all of you guys out there, welcome to the broadcast officially. You've been listening in the last hour. We're now in our middle hour. As you guys know, we're on from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 a.m. Central Time Zone. And I'm Carrie Hines in Brooklyn, and as I said, Brooklyn, New York, and Nicole Marie down in Water Valley, Mississippi. Just want to catch folks up. Nicole Marie, it is so good. Yes, I have been playing some clips from the Natural Hair Fest event that was this past weekend.
What an exciting event.
In Brooklyn, New York. Oh, it was just awesome. And so many lovely folks. We kind of started the broadcast. I think we had on Dr. Courtney Ray up front.
Yeah.
Courtney Ray is a psychologist in the Northern New Jersey area. Yeah, she's just outstanding. And I'm hoping that we can get her here on a regular basis. So we'll keep you guys
informed.
Oh,
that would be wonderful.
She doesn't know that yet.
Oh, my goodness.
But that's what my
desire
is, because I don't know if you heard what she was talking about. She was really going in about natural hair. I'm sorry, natural hair. Mental illness.
Mental illness. Yes, it's so important, Carrie.
Yeah. She really
mental
was. She was really
so
going
very
in.
Important right now.
Absolutely. And it's permeated our society. It probably has always been there, but I think it's been exacerbated in recent times, as you guys know. You're feeling it. And so this is something we want her to elaborate on. And if you guys missed it, I'll get it back on in a little bit so that way you can kind of hear what she had to say, because I think it was of importance. And we'll get her back on. Yeah, we'll get her on. And like I said, we'll try to get her here on a regular basis. Am I right? I mean, that's huge. And it's relevant.
It certainly is. Because for so long, it was something kind of taboo that you didn't talk about. You know, people kind of ashamed to step up and talk about it. But it's real. It's reality.
Especially in the Black community.
Yeah.
There's heat stigma, you know, that was all around it. So yes, you're absolutely right. So I'm gonna make some calls today after we wrap up at 9 a.m. this morning, and see what we can do, because I think that will certainly add to the conversation. And speaking of adding to the conversation, just some amazing folks that have dropped by. And speaking of dropping by, at 8 a.m. Eastern time today, we should have some guests on from the show. We're looking for Mark to come back, but we also have some surprises in store, as well as some more amazing interviews that we were able to get done over the weekend. So you're going to love this. And also live guests. So it's a big celebration for Natural Hair Fest. We're going to be doing this today and tomorrow. So we're going to be we have so much to cover on this. It was really huge, and I loved it. I thought it was just fabulous. So,
sounds like a great
event. I love the live shows. Yeah. I love the live shows. And also, let me shout out to my other live show folks, the International Beauty Show in New York City. They're in Manhattan once a year. So this upcoming event will be the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of 2024. That's their next show. And so I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, we got to go, Nicole Marie. We got
a wonderful show.
I
enjoyed it this year.
Yes.
Wonderful event.
So
exciting.
Yeah, we got to get out there. it was lovely. It really was. Everybody, anybody, that's the oldest live hair and beauty show in the country. Right. So, I mean, it's been out there for a very, very, very long time. And I've been to so many shows of theirs. So, yeah, I've been to a lot of their shows. So we'll be kind of looking back at some of those times and talking about some of the times that I've been there, what's going on behind the scenes at IBS. And I've chatted with pretty much every director for the last 10 years on this broadcast. So there's, we're just head and shoulders above.
That's it.
above the other folks. We really are, Nicole Marie. I mean, to be quite honest, I think we're a chronology each day. We're on all the time.
We are.
And, you know, you can kind of listen to us and get a feel for what's going on in hair and beauty, of course, but also what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
And what is, you know, what's a little bit of all of that?
Yes, everything. Yes. Everything going on.
I do. Yes,
we're everywhere,
exactly.
On every platform. Oh, yes.
This is true, and that's growing as well. So I just want to say big stuff ahead. We have some huge things going on right now, and I'm super excited about it. So, you know, and also Mark, I'm looking at what he'll do, so hopefully he'll be here in the next hour. We'll get him on to talk about the event and what's coming up for 2024. You don't want to miss that conversation.
Awesome.
Really good stuff. Yeah, but really been killing it. Also, just want to kind of talk a little bit about the Hair Radio. What was that? The Hair Radio, of course, Afrolock Magazine. We got to get in Talk of AM. The new issue, which I have not disclosed a whole bunch about, but will be in January. We're kind of picking up where we left off with some conversations about the new year, of course. Want to talk still about families and things of that nature, as well as, you know, resolutions and goal setting and, you know, keeping positive in the new year. Some of the things I want to talk to Dr. Courtney about. So we're going to see when we can get her on again as well. But like I said, we'll play a little clip of her, and maybe I'll do that coming up a little later this morning. Well, right after we wrap, so our host chat. I'm just excited, just so many things. And like I said, Afrolock Magazine, we're going to have a lot of new stuff in there.
Great.
Things that you have not seen before, new articles. We have a lot of stuff. We've been kind of ramping up and
There's always so much information.
Getting everything
to add.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm waiting
those
for,
beautiful Gary. Covers. What's
I'm
that?
Waiting for the cover.
Oh,
the cover.
Nicole Marie.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes. Yes. Now, what did you like about the covers? What inspires you about the covers?
The covers are always different, Carrie. And when I say different, it's not the norm that you just, you know, see on a cover, like if you look at the newsstand, it's always something that kind of jumps out at you that is just so different, so colorful, so just kind of, it's so hard to explain. It's just, they're different. Something
Thank
that
you,
you do not see. And I'm always
and,
just so excited to see, okay, what's going to be next? What's the next cover?
I love it. Well, thank
because
you.
They're always
it comes
different.
Out of my imagination.
That creativity.
Thank you so much. Thank
I just
you.
Love it.
And I love it. Me too. You know, and we're going to continue with that. I really am. We're going to continue with what folks have, what they really like and you know, are thinking about with all that.
Right.
Salon TV Network. As always, is rolling on. It's on right now. And we'll be kind of exploring a whole bunch with that. We'll be talking about that in weeks to come with new content, a whole bunch of regular things and new things and also allocating shows to people and so much stuff. So kind of, you know, pay attention. When you tune into the Hair Radio Morning Show each day, you will know what's going on in the industry in black hair. So really, you know, check it out. Everything from hair and beauty tips to trending, what's trending and what's next. It's all right.
Whatever you need to know is right here.
Exactly. What amazing folks. So no problem. We also got a lot of stuff going on. So much to get to this morning. And again, in the next hour, we're going to be doing a whole bunch with the Natural Hair Fact 2023. Wow. That was this recent weekend. Out in Brooklyn, New York, of course, in my backyard, essentially. So really nice. This really was only about 30 minutes from my house. So
okay.
Very, very excited. 30 minutes from our studio space here. Really,
nice.
Really cool. So, Nicole Marie, going to take a moment to talk about some news, right here. So listen, folks, if you're just joining us, let me just catch everybody up. We always have to do that. On the Hair Radio Morning Show, it's Wednesday morning, November 29th, 2023. We're live. It's about 7:16 if you're on the East Coast, 6:16 if you're out in the Central Time Zone. Again, our show number for those who are keeping track, 925. Can you believe
wow.
that, Nicole Marie? Today is our
925th
show. And each
That's
show
amazing.
Is 3 hours.
Yeah.
So that puts us way ahead of anybody out there trying to do hair talk on radio. We started this genre back in 1995. And that's just in the last several years of this morning edition that we've gotten to 900 shows. So really good stuff.
Oh, that's amazing.
Is that not amazing? So
it is.
Lots of celebrations to come, you know. So I'm loving it. And
we're always celebrating, Carrie.
We do. Now, what's one of your favorite moments? You know, if you can, you've been on the show for a while, Nicole Marie.
My goodness. I have a lot of favorite moments. But I have to say, my first interview,
what was your first interview?
I have to say, that was with none other than Mr. Wayne Smith.
Oh, our former mayor down in New Jersey,
yes.
in Irvington, New Jersey.
Yes.
I forgot
it
that was your first interview.
Yes, it was.
Well, wow. Wayne is that's a heavy hitter. And that's
yes,
I gave
is.
You Wayne
yes,
was our
is.
First interview. your
for
first
me,
interview.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Well, you knocked it out of the box, apparently, because Wayne
Ooh.
Has never forgotten you. So really good stuff.
Well, I appreciate
really.
That.
Yes, and we're going to shout out Wayne this morning. I do need to bring him back to the show to talk about some of the things that have happened. We mentioned news. There's so much going on with politics. It looks like that George Santos fellow in New York, for those of you who've been following, who's had a struggle with telling the truth, apparently. They've been
exactly.
trying to oust him out of Congress.
It's more than a struggle.
Trying to get him out. Yeah. Well, this on top of everything else. And so this should be today or so. We're going to hear more. We'll keep you guys informed. Of course, I don't know if you guys saw this, but I was so moved by all the living first ladies went to the funeral. The line state of course, Miss Rosalynn Carter. Really, and they brought in Jimmy Carter, and your heart just fell to the floor, and so I was very happy to see that, you know, that they could come together to honor her like that.
Yeah,
I was just really, really good stuff. So
love moments like that. It just touches your heart.
It really does. So. Just wanted to say we, our hearts and thoughts and prayers are with her. Got to also give some musicians a little bit of praise real quick. Dolly Parton, whose record I understand is at the top of the charts, her rock star album, at 77, yeah, she's doing
Dolly
it.
Parton.
Really,
she is doing
very
it.
Proud of her. And our own Chaka Khan, we opened up with her music this morning and been playing it throughout the show. She's been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame today, so real excited.
Wonderful.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Chaka
and
Khan.
Also, before we forget, we're having our Hair Radio Morning Show, Tiny Tree Lighting, on Friday's show. So tune in Friday for Fan Day Friday. We'll be lighting our tree, talking about it, playing some Christmas music and all that wonderful stuff. No, we're always doing something here on the broadcast. So,
awesome.
Nicole Marie, yes, speaking of on the broadcast and inspiration, you are always, always on point with, you know, just kind of bringing us up to speed and just giving us that little touch each day that just kind of really propels us forward. And so I just love it when you do get the hope of the day, kind of just really letting us know what we have to do to kind of push forward. And
awesome.
So I kind of like it. Yeah. So I want you to kind of take a moment and kind of tell folks as well, a lot of the people that we deal with, what exactly is Hope of the Day? So we're going to take a listen, and then we'll ask you for what's going on today.
Well, first of all, hope is important to each and every one of us because it gives our lives meaning. It's that belief that our future can be better than our past. So no matter what we may have been through, going through, going to go through, there's always hope. Just that positive expectation that change can and will occur in all of our lives. So every day, I share an inspirational way from a book by Patrick Lindsay, and it's called High Hope.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I have to say, Nicole, I love your intro for Hope of the Day.
Thank you. So what do you have on tap
for us today?
The hope for this Wednesday is diffuse. When faced with a major problem, talk it over with someone you trust. Make sure you identify it accurately. Try to contain your emotional reaction. Stay in the present when responding to it. Don't let it grow out of proportion. To you, Gary.
Oh, Nicole Marie, that just sounds like you want to stay in control. Like really, you know, just watch your behavior. Not overreactionary.
Don't
be overreactionary.
Stick with the problem. Whatever the problem is, stick with the problem. Focus on
the
problem.
Right. Well, that's the only way to resolve it, is what I think Patrick Lindsay is really saying, right? Nicole,
make sure it's clear.
Well, one quick question. So how do you choose these incredible hopes of the days and talks, you know, little clips that you share with us each day? What is the impetus behind what you decide to share?
Well, Carrie, I have so many inspirational books. I read so many different things, and I just happened to find High Hope. It was on my bookshelf, one of my books that I have. And going through Patrick Lindsay's book, I just look for the inspirational just moments that I feel like will impact everyone. That will have an impact on everyone. There's just that boost of encouragement that any and everyone can use each day just to keep going, just for that inspiration to hold on, to keep going no matter what's going on in anyone's life. Hold on to hope. It's so very, very critical and important because change always does occur.
And there's nothing we can do about it but change.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow.
But hold on to hope.
I mean, I think that's the takeaway today. Hold on to hope. I'm going to write that on down. Listen, I just love it. So this is really cool. And speaking of inspiration, we have kind of like a partner to this wonderful update on the business side. We do a little clip each day with our How to Get Rich in the Hair Business book. So really, really cool that's out there on all kinds of platforms. We'll talk a little bit more about that as well. But Nicole Marie, we're going to take a little bit of a music break. We've been talking about Shaka.
We've
been playing some of her latest stuff. This is also one of my favorite classic songs from Shaka. And again, she's now in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She's so deserving. Good grief.
Yes, she
is. Way over. Yeah.
Congratulations,
way over.
Shaka.
Yeah. We're so happy for her. And when we come back, we've got more from the Natural Hair Fest this past weekend, plus in the next hour. We've got some live folks joining us, and you haven't heard what's next. So stay with us. And here is more Shaka Living Me, my favorite. Nicole Marie, great job this morning.
Listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and I am at the Natural Hair Fest in Brooklyn, New York. It is my great honor. You guys met her just last week right here on our broadcast, Miss Eartha Watts politics. Okay, the author and so many other things to provide to, of course. You have just so many things going on. And you guys, you were on the show with gossip maven Flo Anthony, one of my favorite folks in the whole wide world. You know what, Eartha, I got to start with this. I didn't get a chance to tell you guys. The real story behind this is that Flo, her magazine, I was there about 20-something years ago when she started her one of her publications. And they gave me my first job in media.
Wow.
So not Flo, but her publisher, her editor at large. So I was very, very grateful. And I never forgot that it was because of Flo and by extension, you know, I was able to get off to a great start. So just wanted to touch on that, especially since you were on the show last week. So let's talk a little bit about this. First, we got to talk about these wonderful books and being an amazing author. Let's catch everybody up a little bit. Eartha, tell a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Carrie. I'm Eartha Watts Hicks. I'm a member of the Harlem Writers Guild. I'm also executive editor at Harlem World Magazine, and I'm a PR writer and affiliate for blackpr.com as well. I've been writing closing in on 23 years now. And my first novel, debut novel, was Love Changes, which won an award from the NAACP. It won the 2013 Literary Game Changer Award in the fiction category. And it's a love story that's set in the South Bronx and Harlem and Midtown Manhattan. And it turns into a strange love triangle featuring a young lady with a baby torn between the father of her baby and her male best friend. And it's infused with comedy, poetry, music, and it was endorsed by Nikki Giovanni herself. So I'm pretty proud of my novel. Took me 10 plus years to write and publish, and then I quoted song lyrics from 18 music publishers, and that process took 4 years.
Well, we've got a lot to chat about, really, because first of all, it looks absolutely beautiful what you've done, and being a writer is not easy.
No.
So what advice do you give folks who are trying to get started along that kind of a journey?
Okay. Well, when you're trying to get started, learn the craft and find your tribe. So with me, I started by going to the public library and taking out every book I could find on writing, how to write, the art of fiction, Bird by Bird by Anne Lamott Clemons, Artist Way by Julia Cameron, Right Away by Elizabeth George. So every book I could possibly find on the craft of writing, I read that book. And my goal was to try to just finish this novel myself in 3 months. And that was like a lofty goal because it didn't happen. And once I realized, okay, I cannot do this by myself, that's when I started sharing the pages that I was writing because I had accumulated a lot of pages, but it was not a novel. So when I shared it to a neighbor, she just so happened to be a published author who just so happened to refer me to my community, my first community, which was the Frederick Douglass Creative Arts Center. And, you know, being a stay-at-home mom with small children, what I did was I took one workshop a year in the summertime. And I started with novel one, and then novel two, and then poetry one and poetry two. And there is where I encountered some very special writers, one being Valerie Wilson Wesley. And I was like a fangirl of Valerie's, as in I would go for 8 weeks with a bag full of her hardcovers. You know, I wanted to ask her to autograph them, and I was always too shy. So I would carry them in and walk away with them unsigned. But Valerie, she eventually, when I did publish my book, she endorsed it as well.
Oh, now, Eartha, I have got to say, first of all, I'm so impressed. We are just loving, just eating all of this up, really, on the broadcast today. So what's next for you, Eartha? Tell us.
Okay, well, what's next is, well, my planner series, which I'm really, really proud of. It's called Planner is the Girl's Best Friend. And I began the planner series because I started college at 16 years old, right? And I had a Regent scholarship, but it didn't really fully cover my tuition. So I started working full-time at a bank.
Wow.
And working full-time, going to school full-time, I I needed a planner to keep track of my classes and my work schedule and my commitments to student government.
Now, Eartha, let me just have you give everybody, we'll wrap up, just give everybody some kind of social media, some website, some kind of way they can connect with you and your amazing books.
Okay. All right. So I'm all over social media at Eartha Tone. So Earth Tone is a color. I'm Eartha. So it's Eartha Tone, E-A-R-T-H-A-T-O-N-E. And that's on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn. It's everywhere. And my website is a planner, is a girl's best friend.com.
All right. On that note, thank you so much for being with us again. We'll see you back here soon.
All right. Thank you, Kerry. Thank you so much.
And you guys.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Kerry Hines is the longest running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. We are making black progress. Stay tuned.
There is no one like you. There has never been anyone like you. There shall never be anyone like you. Therefore, know yourself. Be yourself. Authenticity is everything.
That I have profited more from the negative as opposed to the positive.
Really?
Yes, because...
Negative experiences?
Yes, absolutely. I really relish and treasure them more than positive, because if I have been able to survive it and reach another level, that has given me more growth, more strength, more confidence.
Yes.
It has enriched my life more, and that's why I treasure them more.
You wake up and your house is a mess and you decide to clean up your house and doing it makes you feel better, that's a win. You need a pen, a Sharpie, and some post-it notes. Every time I do a live for you guys, for me that's a win. Because honestly, I get very critical of myself and I just have to like put it aside. So I then take it off of here. And I go put it up on my wall where I can see it. Every win you have, you put it on a post-it note and start creating your wall of wins so that you can see what you're accomplishing, so you can see what you're getting done, so you can stop beating yourself up about what you're not getting done and start patting yourself on the back and giving yourself a reward for what you are getting done. Otherwise, you get to the end of the day and you feel like, I just didn't do anything. Because if you've been depressed for 3 days and you get up one day and you decide to make breakfast for your family, that's a win. And you need to be able to see your wins, because your wins will inspire you to keep on winning. Your wins will inspire you to stop beating yourself up about what you're not getting done and start focusing on what you are getting done, because everything starts to align and you start doing more. My Stewie says, go to bed with a plan, wake up with a purpose. And I always say, don't put more than 3 things that you want to accomplish the next day. And as you accomplish them, write them down and put them on your wall of wins. So that when a client says no on a job, or you call and they said they're going to send you a check and you check your mail 2 days later and you still don't have the check, but what did you accomplish? What did you get done?
All right. So, Michael, that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about, behind the scenes at the Vet Talk Radio Show. So this is
this is just, Michael, what happens. You know, so folks, they listen to the show, but they don't know what really what goes into it. And they're often asking questions about the Vet Talk Radio show. They ask me all the time at the Hair Radio Morning Show. They're so proud of the work that we're doing and that you, Michael, an accredited claims agent, is doing, advocating for veterans and helping them with their compensation for their disability claims. So, Michael, I've got to talk to you about this topic on tinnitus, which is, again, a big topic that you cover often on the broadcast. And, again, this is something that so many veterans are dealing with on a regular basis. And I think, Michael, my favorite topic, my favorite part of when you cover tinnitus for so many folks out there, how we often think that we know it has something to do with the ear, but we often just lump it with hearing loss and call it a day.
Right.
And I think so many veterans do that. And so, Michael, please, just take a moment, please, and explain this to all of our fans, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure, Karen. Sure. Tinnitus is the humming, the buzzing, the ringing in a veteran's ears. And the thing about tinnitus, there are two types. There's subjective, and that's what most veterans have. Subjective basically means only the veteran can hear it. So if you can hear it, you can file for it. It also has to do with where you worked. What did you do on your active duty service? What'd you do? That has a lot to do with tinnitus also. The other tinnitus is objective tinnitus. It's very rare that most veterans will have that. Objective tinnitus means that another person can actually hear your tinnitus. Normally, no one will hear your tinnitus. In objective tinnitus, as I said, it's very rare. Someone else can hear your tinnitus. Like if you're getting examined by a doctor, they can hear the ringing, humming, buzzing, etc. That's
wow.
The difference between the tinnitus. Now, hearing loss. Hearing loss is a whole different animal. It's a difference. With hearing loss, you would either had to have been diagnosed with it while you were on active duty, or normally hearing loss is secondary to a primary issue that you have, something that happened on active duty. And as a result, you have the ringing in your ears. That's normally what happens. It's determined by an audiogram. It's determined by an audiologist basically saying you have hearing loss. The trick to the hearing loss, as far as veterans are concerned, is this. Your hearing loss has to be for VA purposes when you're going after bilateral hearing loss. That's what it has to say in your medical records.
Wow.
All the tests and everything, they have to show the Hertz test and the audiologist, as I said. All of that has to show that you have hearing loss. Many veterans, as you so eloquently put it, Carrie Hines, many veterans file for hearing loss thinking that if I file for hearing loss, then I'll also get rated for tinnitus because it doesn't work that way. The majority of the veterans, Carrie, that will file for hearing loss, they won't get it. because it's not going to show up in their service treatment records that they went on sick call.
God, wow.
For hearing loss. Wow. Just like, the same thing with tinnitus, Carrie.
Well, Michael, I just want to remind folks that this is huge, and it's a huge topic.
Very much
so. And that's why it's so important that you cover it on the Vet Talk Radio Show. So we want to remind you guys to tune in every Tuesday morning for Michael Hopkins and, of course, the Vet Talk Radio Show right here as part of the Hair Radio Morning Show Network. You never have to worry about changing anything. You just roll right on Tuesday mornings at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your two feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air.
I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, we have a very, very special guest with us today. He's from the world of music and writing. Mr. Matthew Knowles, I want to welcome you to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Hey, good morning, Carrie. You know, I've been very fortunate and blessed to have done a whole lot of entrepreneurial types of ventures. And one is for 18 years, I co-owned and co-managed the number one hair salon in Houston for a number of years called Headliners Hair Salon.
Is that really? Well, we
I actually published a hair styling book, Gary, called Hair International back in the late 80s and early 90s.
Oh, we have got to talk about that. we got to figure out how you, and I should have said music and the literary world on top of everything else, but how in the world did you get from the hair industry into the music industry, or are they kind of like one and the same as a lot of folks believe?
Well, for me, you know, I was in corporate America, and Tina, my former wife, I asked her one day what was her passion, and she said her passion was doing hair and making people beautiful. And I said, why don't you go to school, and when you finish school, we'll open a hair salon. And That's what we did. And at Hair Salon, we used one of the principles that I had learned, because I was selling diagnostic imaging to the medical, and I kind of used, when you go to a doctor's office, they ask you, you know, fill out all these forms, you know, why are you here, tell us your history, and then the nurse comes and takes you to the room, and then she weighs you and takes your temperature and asks you why you're there and do your blood pressure. And then a doctor comes, and he looks at that on the door before he walks in. He looks at your patient history and why you're there, and what your vitals are. And he's made a decision right there what you need. He comes see you. And then when he finishes, which is the quickest part of it, is when you see the doctor, he leaves, and then he writes a prescription. And I use that same concept in our hair salon, exactly, having many assistants. The stylist never left the chair, and I felt it was malpractice if a licensed cosmetologist did not continue and complete the service. And that service is home products for the customer. And so maintenance, home maintenance.
Like, yeah, the after,
so that was
after
our philosophy
salon.
At Headliner.
Wow. Well, first of all, thank you for sharing that. And you really, you helped to add a whole different layer to this today. And we're so excited about it. Thank you very, very much. Now, I have to say, along the line, so the music, how did you get into producing music? I understand that you had, you know, I call it that whole passion for excellence and working for others and so forth and having that entrepreneurial mindset. But is that what kind of led you into music? How did you get into the production of music and that whole aspect?
Well, the production of it, you know, that's as an executive producer, you oversee everything from the studio, the travel, all of the paperwork that's involved. And also occasionally I had the opportunity to co-write Survivor and a couple of other songs with Destiny's Child, and you get into just over time, I've been in this field over 24 years now, and you pick up every aspect of it, every aspect of it, and if you're passionate and you love it, then you want to learn every aspect of it, and that's what passion does, and, you know, that's my new book, DNA of Achievers, you know, the 10 traits. The first one is passion. You know, are people doing, who's listening right now, are they doing what they're passionate about? Are they doing it for money? It's a big difference.
Well, you know what, let's talk about the DNA of Achievers and the 10 traits. We're not going to give all the traits because I'm going to do like Barbara Walters. We learn from the best. Don't give the top trait just yet. We're going to save that for the book. We want you to pick up this book. It's the DNA of Achievers. Now, the 10 traits of highly successful professionals. You mentioned passion. What are some of the, you know, how do folks recognize their passion? We do tell them that. We tell everyone, you know, pursue your passion. But how do you know what your passion is? You have any tips for that?
It's a very simple step. What is that one thing? And the key word here, Carrie, is one thing, because the mistake most people make is they all over the place. They love this, they love hair, they love fashion, they love makeup, they love da-da-da. You know, that one thing that you become really, really good and maybe even become great if you focused. So what is that one thing that energizes you, excites you, that you go to bed at night thinking about, wake up in the morning, can't wait to do it? And sometimes it's something that nobody even knows because you're embarrassed or ashamed to say, this is really my passion. And I tell everybody, I don't care what that one thing is, if you strive towards getting that one thing right, it will change your life, because if you are passionate about something, then it coexists with work ethics. Because when you are passionate, you don't work. You have fun all day doing what you love. That's why I really focus in on passion. What is that one thing
that you just excites you. You could just go running out the door right now because it makes you, gives you that much joy and fulfillment inside.
We love that. Now, I do have to ask you, what's that one passion thing for you, Matthew Knowles?
Educate and motivate in the areas of entrepreneurship and music business. I've done it all my life, educate and motivate.
Wow. Well, I have to just let everybody know, you know, you launched one of the most successful, I think it is the top successful female group of all time, you know, Destiny's Child, and award-winning, and you've just done so much. And we're just trying to find out what is it that has created this inside of you. I think that this book, The DNA of Achievers, will tell us a little bit about that. I really do. I know that passion is one of the, you know, the first traits that you mentioned. But what are some of the other traits that we should really look out for in the DNA of Achievers?
Well, I talk briefly about work ethics because they coexist. You can't have one without the other. You can't have work ethics unless you're passionate about something. And because if you're not passionate, you don't want to, you know, if you hate doing it. You know, how many people wake up and hate going to work every day?
Well, that's kind of like majority of the folks. I think it's very few.
God bless them because, God bless them because I've been very fortunate. Seldom. I have, you know, my early days, Goodyear, when I used to work at Goodyear in the summer when I was a young teenager. I was determined to do the job, but I didn't like it. Didn't love it. I was determined, but you know, I it's a certain joy you get of waking up, going to do what you love. Yesterday, I started at 7 o'clock, Carrie, and I in the morning. I finished at 11 o'clock last night, and I work normally 7 days a week. I go to the office on the weekends or do a ton of emails. I love it. Absolutely. Love it.
Yeah.
I love what I'm doing right now, talking to you. I love it.
Oh, thank you, Matthew. That is really, I have to tell you something. We are very honored to have you on the show. And something like this is so critical and important. But I have to go back a little bit. I actually love what you wrote because I kind of live by this myself. You know, back when you were working in, I call it like for corporate kind of, you were doing like the sales and, you know, that to me sounds like project management. And when you have so much that you're in charge of and all of that, and you were so successful, even in sales. And I say, it just reminds me of myself. I think when you are doing something, like you said, that you are passionate about, even if you're working for others and you're really happy about what you're doing, you know, it's automatically like a success, so to speak. And I just think that you don't necessarily always have to be an entrepreneur. If that's not what you're, you know, in your spirit to do or whatever the case may be, but if you do whatever it is that you're supposed to do and you're passionate about and you love it, you know, you can make it into a success and you can feel that success. And I think this was, you know, so I read that line and I thought it was outstanding, you know, when you're working for the other company and, you know, you felt like an entrepreneur is what I'm driving at.
No. Carrie, I teach, one of the courses I teach at Texas Southern University is entrepreneurship in the School of Business.
Mm.
And the first thing that I teach, Gary, is the biggest mistake and error that I think we make is we think we get confused entrepreneurship and owning a business. They are two different things. Entrepreneurship is a belief. It's a belief. It's a certain makeup. It's like a DNA. It's people that take risk. It's people that are highly energized. It's people that come up with ideas. That's entrepreneurship. There's a lot of people that own businesses that are
not
business owners. They're not entrepreneurs. That's a lot of people that work for other people and are employees, but they are entrepreneurs in how they think, in a day operate. So please don't get that confused.
Okay, that is a very good point and something that I absolutely need to bear in mind as well.
Now, I have to say, and we're gonna definitely get on with some of these wonderful traits. We're going to talk a little bit more about the DNA of Achievers. But, folks, if you've just joined me, you are listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show, and today we have a very special guest coming to us. It's Mr. Matthew Knowles. Now, he has written a new book called The DNA of Achievers, and it's 10 traits of highly successful professionals. So this is something that we're going to definitely talk a little bit more about. But also, Matthew, I want to get into some of your current projects, some of the things that you're working on these days and some of the plans that you have.
Well, Kerry, my passion has always been, even as a sales rep, when we truly think about what a salesperson do, they educate somebody on the product that they're selling, and
right.
they motivate them to buy it. And
right.
so what I've been doing most of my life is my passion, educating and motivating. And I'm doing that right now. I'm doing a number of seminars around the country. November the 14th, I'm in Macon, Georgia. November the 15th, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, a seminar that's called The Entertainment Industry, How Do I Get In? And these seminars are all-day seminar, and they're for recording artists, singers, managers, producers, songwriters, videographers, choreographers, hairstylists. How about
wow.
that? Why would a hairstylist want to go to one of these conventions? Seminars, because it's 300 people in a room, and most of them want to get in the entertainment industry, and some of them hopefully will be successful. And guess what?
Love it.
They're
going to
need
Love
a hairstylist.
It. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, tell us more. So this seminar, the ones that are coming up around the 14th and 15th of November, how do we get involved with that?
You can go to eventbrite.com.
Eventbrite.com.
Again, that's the entertainment industry. How do I get in? You know what, Kerry? I have to tell you, man, you reminded me, out of all the seminars, I mean, all of the interviews I've done on the DNA of Achievers,
yes.
I've never, and out of all the things I've talked about, clothing line, Darion, House of Darion, you know, headliners and Hair International, I seldom talk about, and I did that 18 years. Did you know, and for folks listening, they probably remember in the 90s that oversized hairstyling book. We had 3 volumes of it. One day, Kerry,
really?
I had to make the decision if I was going to be in the hair publishing book business or be in the music business, and I had to make that decision. I remember the day I had to decide, and
wow.
I had an office, and on the door said Hair International Publication, and on the door said Music World Entertainment, and
wow.
I had to make that decision. I used to go all over the country to all of those hair shows. And
oh,
I had,
to Brana Brothers and all those big hair shows and all of that.
Brana Brothers, all of them. I had manuals. I was educating back then. I had a manual called How to Open Your Own Hair Salon. I had an educational manual.
I feel like
called,
I'm talking to someone that is amazing.
I had a manual called How to Build a Client Base. And then I
wow.
had an appointment book that I created. And so some
wow.
folks that are listening remember that Hair International publication.
So you should feel at home here at Hair Radio. That's exactly the kinds of wonderful things that we do and bring to the, you know, to the beauty world. So I love it. I love it, and I can't wait. I want any of those copies that you have lying around, you let us know. We're happy to see them. And if you ever decide to, you know, to add on to this wonderful book that you have out now, again, The DNA of Achievers, and you decide to do something in the hair and beauty way, you make sure and look us up at Hair Radio. We would love to speak to you
I
about
guarantee
that.
You, Kerry, I guarantee your listeners, they pick up that book and they can go right now to Amazon or Apple and get the e-book. The hardback will be in stores in the next 30 days. But I guarantee you, I'll give you money back
After you read that book, The DNA of Achievers, and after every chapter, there's a work exercise. I actually, you know, that college professor comes out. I promise you, buy that book and you'll become better at what you're doing in the hair industry. Again, I did the industry for 18 years. And our first $1 million, Carrie, was made in 1984 in Houston, Texas, with Headliners Hair Salon.
And that was before you, you know, we got to know you in the record producing world.
1984, Carrie. 1984.
Wow. That is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And that's Headliners.
Who knew we were going to be talking about this, man?
Well, you know what? This is just amazing. And I'm just blown away. I really am. But I have to ask you, there was one of the traits that I saw, and I said, well, hold it, I have got to ask Matthew about this. I want to talk about learning from your failure, too, because I believe in that, but I want to ask you what's your take on it. But what does talk-to-do ratio mean? I couldn't figure that out. What is talk-to-do ratio? And then I want to get into some more of this. But what's talk-to-do ratio?
Well, Carrie, you're in the industry that there's quite a bit of that, just like in the music industry, that people just talk about what they're going to do, the follow-up. They have an idea, they're going to follow up, or they're going to meet with you, or they're going to call you, and then you never hear from them.
Right.
You never
hear
a word from them.
Right.
And those two professions really do a lot of talk to do. And so it's measuring, Carrie, the percentage of what we say we're going to do versus what we end up doing.
That's what it is,
measuring what we say we're going to do versus the percentage of the time we actually do what we say we're going to do.
Wow.
And you find that successful people, if they say they're going to do something, you know, we had an interview at a certain time. You were there waiting. I was there 3 minutes before the time, not after the time we said. We both were there like we said we were going to do.
That's right.
And that's talk-to-do ratio, high percentage of doing what we say we're going to do. It's as simple as that.
I love it. And, of course, one of the biggest lessons, and I want to certainly say some for the folks who pick up this book called The DNA of Achievers, but it's the learning from failure. We cannot not talk about that. How, Matthew, what do you say to folks who need to learn from their failure, or how do you learn from your failure?
We're going to have failures. We're going to make mistakes. When we take risks, sometimes we make mistakes. Just in life's own terms, we make mistakes and we have failures. But I basically like to keep life real simple. In this book, I try to keep it real simple, and I try to keep it real. I keep it real. And you know, often we don't realize that mistakes are a reason and an opportunity for us to even become better, better at what we do, better as people. So it's an opportunity, but not a reason to quit. I like to say that mistakes and failures are opportunity to grow, not a reason to quit. And if we haven't walked through some things, we can't grow. I could never tell you how to be the best, I don't know, pilot, airplane pilot. If maybe you had never tried to fly a plane, and maybe during your training, maybe you learned some things the hard way that maybe you don't ever want to do it that way. Maybe you don't want to fly into a storm. Maybe that ride got so bumpy and got so scary that you thought it was going to crash. And so you learn, hey, if there's a storm, I'm not going to fly in it. I had that one experience. It taught me I don't want to do that. And so we have to walk through this stuff sometimes. And we have to grow from it. But what I find is a lot of people, they're almost there, Carrie, of being successful.
Yes.
They make a mistake, or have a failure, and then they quit.
They quit
but
right
is there,
before it's going to happen.
Right before. But you've always heard that too, I'm sure, where they say, oh, he was just about to make it. And then, you know, you have a big, like, it always seems like some catastrophe happens or something really, like, I don't know, some folks say it's a test, that if you make it through that, then you'll be successful. It's really, it's a challenge sometimes. I have to actually say, being an entrepreneur myself, it is, it can feel like a challenge sometimes. So, you know, this is really nice. I appreciate you creating
but
a book like this.
Carrie, it is a challenge, but I have such a different approach. When it gets tough, that's when I gear
yeah.
up. That's when
that's
I'm
when
ready.
You get real.
Like
real
I don't. I put my foot on the gas when there's trouble. I don't like let up and say oh. And start feeling sorry for myself.
Right, and start
you know, poor pity me. That's not what successful people do, man.
That's right.
They said, okay, only person who's going to help me get through this is me and some good people around me that I can trust and believe in, and I'm going to get through it. First, you got to believe it.
Wow, this is amazing. You have to believe. I guess it goes back to, you know. You know, like you said, the passion, the work ethics, but there is one other element that we probably have to at least address, and that's the vision. You got to be someone who can actually see it, I think.
And that vision is just, again, I like to keep it simple. It's having an idea and thinking the idea all the way through to execution of the idea that it becomes a real product. And so most people have vision, and the mistake that we often make is we go running out, we have this idea, and we go running out before we thought it all the way through, and we ask a friend or someone who we think is a friend, and we say, hey, what do you think about this? And they're like, oh, man, that ain't going to ever work. Well, maybe you should think it all the way through. And so when you go to your friend, you don't ask them what they think. You say to your friend, you know what, friend, I need you to, this is my idea. I need you to invest $100 in this idea. Not I'm going to ask you what you think about it because I'm going to explain it all the way through. And I'm not asking your opinion. I'm asking for your help versus your opinion. That's what a true visionary does.
Wow. I love it. Now, folks, if you've just joined us, you are listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Our very, very special guest today, Mr. Matthew Knowles. Now, you guys know him. He's an award-winning executive producer in the music world, and he's also an author of this new book called The DNA of Achievers, 10 Traits of Highly Successful Professionals. Now, we did not indicate number one yet. We're not going to give number one. I don't want to give that over the air, Matthew. We want folks to go and certainly order this book. As you said, you can get it from Amazon. We just want to promote it and put it out there. It's something that obviously, especially our fan base, our wonderful listeners of the Hair Radio Morning Show, are very much entrepreneurs and would be able to gain something from this. So this is very, very exciting. Hey, I just want to turn back to music for one quick moment. I have one of the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show, when they found out you were coming to the show, they wrote in and they sent a question. And they said, and I thought it was very interesting because I don't think I would have thought of this, but have you ever, Matthew, thought of putting together a boy band or a male group or a male version of it? What do you say to something like that?
Well, you know, I'm working with a girl group. It just seems as though my magic is with girl groups. I was fortunate to work with Trinity 5-7 and gospel, and they, similar to Destiny's Child and pop and R&B and gospel, Trinity 5-7 is the number one selling female trio of all time in gospel. And so I have a female trio that I'm working with in hip-hop. two rappers and a female vocalist. Their name is Blush Music. I have to put emphasis on Blush because it's spelled B-L-U-S-H-H-H.
All right.
And you will hear about these young ladies very, very soon in the next 3 to 5 months. And so that's what I'm working with. I had worked once with a boy band, but it's a different set of dynamics. I love the imaging part also that happens on the female side, and the approach for marketing is a lot different. And so I enjoy that. It's the most difficult of all is working with a female group because you have a lot of psychological dynamics that falls into play, as well as the imaging, as well as the music matching. And so that's a challenge, and I love challenges. So I enjoy that.
Well, it sounds like you can tie the success of something like that, and especially your projects, back to something like wonderful traits.
But, Carrie, I want to thank you. You know, I want to thank you. I really hadn't talked about the hair industry. And
I'm
happy
blushing
my publicist, Angelo, and those guys set up this interview because I seldom do I talk about. There were some great years, some fun years owning that hair salon. And then one day we called a meeting. Tina called a meeting, and no one knew what she was going to do. 18 years into the business, and one stylist who was an assistant for like 2 or 3 years, maybe even more, and he was not, he wasn't gifted with the skill of being a hairstylist. He had to develop and work on it, and he came to work early, and he stayed late, and she called this meeting. And he had been with the company 10 years, and she gave him Headliner's Hair Salon in Houston. And there wasn't a dry eye in the house, in the room, when she gave this stylist the business because he was dedicated. He was passionate, and he came early. And, he stayed late, and those are the formulas of greatness, people who come early and stay late. And she rewarded him for that. But I have to run. I see they're knocking on the door, and
well,
I got to get going, man.
I just want to say thank you. I was so wrapped with that story. That's a great story. Listen, Matthew, thank you so much for being with us on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I do appreciate it. We have to pick up this book, The DNA of Achievers, and we'll stay in touch, and we want you to come back one day and bring us one.
I would love to do that. Thank you so much, and have a great day. Bye.
You too. Folks, keep it right here for more of the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout-out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
All right. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and it is so awesome to be here at the Natural Hair Fest in Brooklyn, New York. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and we are literally broadcasting live from the amazing Natural Hair Fest 2023 in Brooklyn, New York. Now, I have the pleasure to make this acquaintance with some of the vendors here at the wonderful Natural Hair Fest again in New York City. Let's start here. What's the name of your company? And tell everybody who you guys are.
Hi. Well, we're Minx and Max. We are a spa salon where we do hair, makeup, and nails. I'm the hairstylist there. My name is Janice Smith. and I specialize in lock extensions and hair extensions in general.
I'll be visiting. What's your name?
I'm also with Minx and Mats, and I'm a part owner. My name is Rosita Vitalis.
I just love it. Now, I am looking at, let's start here first. And like I said, I am just enthralled at how beautiful you guys have made this. So we're going to have to put some pictures up on our website at AfroLockMagazine.com. But tell us a little bit about Minx and Mats. So where did the name come from?
Just organically, to be honest. It was just something that was put together and so you know what? It's unique, it's different, and it encompasses what we want as a beauty spa.
And what is it that you want as a beauty spa?
So
of course, I'm going to ask you that question.
Yeah, so we wanted a place where people can come and feel at home, where they feel comfortable, but also offering a full service. So that's why we wanted to make it type of a one-stop shop. So when you come in, you want to get your hair done, then you see the nail station, and then you see the makeup station, and you can get all those things done in one area.
Awesome. Now just remind everybody where you guys are and all that wonderful good stuff and how they can contact you. And we normally don't give out numbers on our show, but we're going to make an exception for everybody today. We want folks to find you guys. Okay.
All right. So we're located on Notion Avenue at Brooklyn Junction, 2131 Notion Avenue, right next to Five Guys in Lloyd Bakery, second floor.
Awesome. Okay. So hold it. I have to talk about these products. And again, I'm looking at these beautiful, looks like gift baskets that you got. Barbie gift baskets that they are displaying on the table in addition to all these lovely, lovely products and a lot of sparkly. We love that. Okay.
Yes.
So tell us about the, so I take it you guys are kind of big on the Barbie theme today. And I see all the pink. Okay.
Yes.
So tell us about that.
So our salon is basically pink. It's like really girly. It did not come from the Barbie theme.
Oh, I was about to say, wow.
No, that was how it was before Barbie even came out. But we wanted to do a raffle with gift baskets. And the theme is Barbie. So we have a mixture with the Barbie cup, a Mira, a little purse, a pink passport, keychain, earrings, pins, and with that, they can also come and purchase items as well.
Now, did you guys have any idea that you were going to be able to cash in on the pink idea with the big movie and all that?
No. Actually, that all just happened to be coincidental.
Yeah. Yeah. The salon was around before it came out.
Okay.
So we have pink station, pink chairs, our walls, the interior decorator. She did an amazing job with the salon.
Awesome.
Right, they
awesome.
Really did. Yeah.
Well, again, I want to just remind everybody, give everybody your names once again, and the website. Let's send everybody to you guys' website and all that wonderful good stuff.
Okay, great. So, again, my name is Janice Smith. I'm one of the stylists there. We have Maisty. She's our nail tech. She also does lock extensions, and she's our receptionist. And we have Bree. She's our makeup artist there. And we also do lashes. So they can find us on Instagram at Minx and Mats NYC. Our website is minxandmatsnyc.com.
Great job.
Yes.
Okay. Now, as one of the co-owners of this wonderful establishment, anybody you want to shout out to today?
Not really.
You guys know.
You know what? It's early in the morning.
Okay, this is true.
I've now had my coffee.
We're going to make sure, and I can relate.
I'm going to shout out the staff because the staff has really been there promoting and, you know, just being there for their customers and the clients and that nature. So to the staff first and foremost, and then my other partner.
Absolutely. You always have somebody to thank, okay? And of course, all of you guys tuned in. Thank you so much. Okay, again, Minx and Matt.
Awesome.
Thank
you as well.
You're welcome. All right. Keep it right here, folks. We've got a whole lot more to get to this morning on the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. Stay with us.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
The shop money is fast money, and if you're wise, you'll stash the money, because eventually you'll get burnt out. Now your pocket's looking funny. Never saw it coming because you've been balling since 24. Doing hand designer shoes all day, now your knees sore. Create your exit plan or you'll be stuck in the trap. Like selling dope, the money come faster with no plan, it's a wrap. Miss your kids growing up trying to stack that paper. Now they're grown and you missed out on their life, and I hope they don't hate you. The shop will make you money, but it can leave you blind. Taking that thing that you can't get back, and that's called time. Taking trips to the hair show, yeah, that's sweet, but then you gotta rush back to the shop to stand on your feet. I'm just trying to school this generation the best that I can. Ball out and stack that paper, make sure you got an exit plan. The hair game is like a trap, money falling in your lap. God forbid you get sick, now your clientele off track. You better get you some insurance, and that's just something you can't dodge, cause you mess around and you get sick, now you're forced to get a job. You buy your kids everything just to compensate for the time lost, traded in the best years of their life just to call myself a boss.
Hi, I'm Carrie Hines, and I've been in the hair and beauty industry for 25 years. It's my pleasure and honor to introduce you to Carapi Shampoo and Carapi Conditioner, two unique all-natural hair products from Carrie Hines Hair Care, especially formulated to remedy any type of hair issue. And the biggest benefit of all is that Carapi Shampoo and Carapi Conditioner grows hair. Carrie Hines Hair Care is the very first African-American-based company to infuse hair care products with caffeine. Why caffeine? Well, many of you are aware that stimulating the scalp is truly what causes the hair follicles to awaken. We were most interested in developing a proprietary formula that works on all hair types, whether you have a relaxer or are a naturalista, and not wash away or strip the hair following a color treatment. We're thrilled at the amazing following of Carapi, and we thank you. Please register at Carapi.com and join our Carapi community at HairRadio.com. Again, I'm Carrie Hines. Thank you.
Back live. It's Wednesday morning, November 29th of 2023. I'm Carrie Hines out of Brooklyn, New York. It's our broadcast show number, are you ready for this, 925. Show number 925 today. And I'm so super excited as we've been kind of running some clips from the recent hair and fashion and beauty show that was in Brooklyn, New York this past weekend. I'm so excited because I have a wonderful, wonderful lady. Her name is Eartha. You guys met her last week. We even ran some things with Eartha this morning. So it's my great honor to kind of bring her back to the show live on the air today. And let's see if she's there. Eartha, are you there with us this morning? Are you live on the air? On the
yes,
Harry,
good
morning. Good
morning.
Wow. Well, officially, good morning to you again. We listened to a little bit of you this morning in our second hour. I think we were doing so.
Oh.
Officially, good morning. Yeah.
Good
how
morning.
Nice.
Yeah. Good morning.
So, Eartha, we've got
we got to have you on nice and loud, right on into the mic there on your phone. So tell us a little bit. First, let's talk about the show. Let's talk about the Natural Hair Fest. Did you enjoy it? Tell us a little bit about your experience this past weekend.
I thoroughly enjoyed the Natural Hair Fest, and I learned so much. The experts that presented gave us insight on how to care for the hair, the scalp, as far as how to cleanse the scalp, how to maintain natural hair, what kind of products are good for your hair, what kind of products are not good for your hair, and how to maintain and keep it nice, keep it soft, keep it natural. So, and then the room was filled with vendors that had such wonderful products. I walked out with a few hand crocheted items that I'll be gifting for Christmas. But
wow.
I had a wonderful, wonderful time. And actually, one lady had a hand crocheted scarf that mimicked the camouflage. So it looked but she crocheted it with her hand. I was so impressed because
wow.
I don't know how she did that, but I bought it.
Wow. Well, it must have been good.
I would have bought two. She had them in the same color, but I did buy two, but I didn't buy two to the camo. I bought two different colors, the camo and another color.
Wow.
But it was wonderful. And then there was one gentleman that had these fabulous hats because my son has locks, and he has this mane of hair, and he can never find a hat that fits. So I saw one vendor with the hats, and I said, oh, wow, okay, I'll be right back. And when I circled back with cash, he was gone, and I was like, oh, no. I was so sad and disappointed. I was like, oh, my goodness. I was like, Mark David, where's the guy with the hats?
Wow. Yeah, Mark David Carter, who is the gentleman behind this event this year. I'm so excited for him. I really am. It was a great event. I loved it as well.
Oh, my goodness.
He put
his foot in it, they say.
He really did. So if you're just joining us, yeah, you missed a great event if you weren't there. So, Mark, this is really great that he's doing this, and I believe he's going to do it each year or so. So this is something that's really, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I want to be part of this ongoing, connection that he has with people and with what he's doing with hair, beauty, and fashion and all of that. And right in my backyard in Brooklyn, New York, of course, he does things in other cities. So you're going to have to check with naturalhairfest.com to make sure to see what he's doing out there and stay in touch with Hair Radio.
Yeah.
Of course. So you know what I want to do? I have got to turn to some of the wonderful books and things that you have done and what you're working on these days. So let's talk a little bit about that. You know, reading is always encouraged here on our broadcast. And, you know, there's so many folks maybe not paying as much attention to reading as I think they should and as we should as a, you know, collectively speaking as a culture. So what can you tell us about some of your books and what's out now?
Well, my debut novel, Love Changes, it took me over 10 years to write. And I wrote the novel. I had an agent, but I decided to independently publish because I had served as director of publications for a nonprofit. And when I could not find a publishing house that was willing to take the project on because I had quoted song lyrics, that's like something they really don't want to invest in because it's an expensive and lengthy process. So when I realized, okay, well, the mainstream publishers are not interested at this time, but I have all the tools that I need to do it myself. So I vetted the 18 songs. That process took 4 years, so that's part of the reason why it took 10 years to publish. But I vetted the 18 music publishers to quote the 3 songs, which were Mary J. Blige's Be Happy, Keep On Moving by Soul to Soul, and Same Place, Same Time by Crystal, which was produced by Leon Silver. I'm sorry?
No, I was just saying I love those songs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially Same Place, Same Time. It's one of those songs from back in the 80s. I think it was released in 1986 that actually used to make me cry, which is one of the reasons why I said, okay, if I ever do a novel, I want to quote that song. Because I was a teenager, and just the thought of being deeply in love with two people at the same time just used to make me cry. It's like, that is so sad.
Wow. Yeah, so that just tells me about your writing, you know, what I'm thinking and keeping my fingers crossed on your books. But, yeah, let's hear more about that because I'm just guessing that those experiences, is that what you kind of put into your books?
Yes, I most certainly did. Love Changes is the story of a young woman who has a baby with her high school sweetheart. But then she comes to realize that she's in love with her high school sweetheart and her male best friend. So it gets twisted. It gets twisted because it was a crush that she was sort of trying to ignore. But once he realizes he has feelings for her too, it becomes completely messy. And it's messy in a sense of there's a newborn baby. Anyway, her family and his family don't get along. Everyone loves the male best friend, and now the male best friend is crushing on her back. So just the whole timing of it all is disastrous. And it takes place in 1995, which gave me a chance to infuse all that great R&B music that we had. Not all of it, but some of the songs that just I loved from the 90s and the 80s. I infused it to give the story a richness. And it takes place in the South Bronx and Harlem. And there'll be some locales that you might recognize within the story. And, it's a fun story in the sense that we're fun. Black women are fun. You know, we're quirky. And we're hilarious, and we're honest, and we're brutal when we're trying to hide things from others and ourselves. And just the essence of who we are is what I try to capture within the characters, the female characters as well as the male characters. I try to make them as true to life and write them in their own voice as best I could.
Now, why is that so important?
For me, it was important. Growing up, I did not have access to Black stories, Black writers. I would go to the library and ask for books by Black authors, and they would point me to the card catalog, which was an index card with some type on it. And if you have an index card with type on it, if you don't know the authors by name, you're never going to be able to find who the Black authors are if there's not a picture there. Or if you didn't already know about the book. You know, so at 7 years old, I'm in this four-story library. Everything is mahogany and polished, but there's nothing of me in this big, beautiful building. So my favorite authors when I was nine were C.S. Lewis, who wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and Edgar Allan Poe, who wrote The Telltale Heart, The Raven, Lenore. So I read the complete, now I'm nine, I read the complete works of Edgar Allan Poe, plus I read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I wasn't too interested in the rest of C.S. Lewis's books, but The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, I read like 10 times. I would read the same book.
Wow. Well, you're a great person to talk about this. So what do you say when you hear about the books, certain books being taken or removed from libraries around the country? Because they politicize some of the content or don't agree with certain perspectives on some of the book's content. How do you feel about censorship in that way?
Well, I personally feel that when a book is banned, it's banned because they don't want you thinking some thoughts or ideology that's already in that book. And if they're trying to censor it, that's even more of a reason why you should read it. So my suggestion is to get the complete list of banned books and start at the first book and read to the last book. Read them all. Buy them all. Read them all. Buy them all. Share the list. If they're trying to ban the books, There's a reason why. They don't want you to know something. But, you know, we're here to think for ourselves. We make decisions for ourselves. That's why we have a mind. That's why we're individuals. So to ban books, you know, censorship, you know, this is a country that was founded, you know, based on liberty. So to turn around and flip and now try to censor books that are culturally rich and informative, or that capture a history that's embarrassing, are you going to ban those books? Oh, you ban them, I'll read them. How about that?
I love it. Absolutely. Now I'm going to turn back to this event over the weekend. Again, we were all there at the Natural Hair Fest that Mark David Carter put on in Brooklyn, New York, right in my backyard. I live in Brooklyn. Our studio is located right here in Brooklyn, New York. And it was just, I thought it was a great event. I had an opportunity to open up the show for Mark. And and I just remember that folks had so many questions about, I think we were talking about the Crown Act. I think we talked about even shampooing your hair type thing. In addition to so many other things. And it just kind of caught me off guard that folks had so many questions, you know, on how to care for their hair. And so I just found it to be, I found it to be quite incredible. I really did. But I loved it. I loved that energy that they brought. So it was just, you know, it was my enjoyable milieu. I just loved it. I really did. So did you have a chance to catch any of those presentations on the show or in the show?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I loved the presentation from the two doctors, Matt and Jessica with Reginexus, because I'm at a certain age where...
I've run some of their pieces as well on this broadcast. And I've also reached out to them because they're talking in a space that I absolutely love. And I wanted their message to be really taken seriously. Their whole thing is about hair loss and kind of stimulation of the scalp. Dr. Martin is from over in Dubai. And he's here, you know, with Dr. Jessica as well. Really good stuff. And she's an MD. So, you know, she's an actual medical doctor. So we love that because when you have real doctors, medical doctors I'm talking about, you know, whether they, wherever they are in the spectrum of you know, physician, of medical care, and or if they happen to be a dermatologist, whatever. I love that because you're talking about science. You got to have real science, not just folks guessing what goes into stimulation, scalp stimulation, or what can grow your hair back possibly and this and that. You need to have professionals to weigh in, and it gets no better than a scientific approach. So, yeah, I loved it too as well. I didn't get a chance to, because I was there so early, I didn't have a chance to stay to the end as I wanted to. But, you know, but one of my great associates, we're going to shout out Mr. Kyle Knight, who is one of the rap artists. And I think he performed, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm going to catch up with him and see if we can get the show to talk a little bit about his experience at the event as well. I did chat with Mark David Carter this week after the show, and he was just so grateful for our participation at the Hair Radio Morning Show. And we will continue this wonderful, connection, if you will. And I'm just very pleased. Now, I'll tell you, there is something just to bounce back a little bit that I'd like to talk with you about, and we're going to do it. We're going to introduce it right here on the air. Because I think this is something that that's important. And again, but first, before I get there, you got to tell everybody, remind everybody about your titles and how they can get hold of your books and all of that good stuff. So I'm going to just say, Eartha, take it away.
Thank you. Thank you. My name is Eartha Watts Hicks. I am an NAACP award-winning author and publisher. I'm also a PR writer and affiliate for blackpr.com. I'm also a New York City Literacy Ambassador for the NYCHA branch of the NAACP. I'm also an active member of the Harlem Writers Guild. I am a fiction fellow through the Hurston Wright Foundation and the Center for Black Literature's North Country Institute and Retreat for Writers of Color. And I'm also a NYFA, New York Foundation for the Arts, Artist Entrepreneur, Columbia University Business Pitch Competition in 2017. Actually. And,
yeah.
And that was from the Planner series, which was the Planner is a Girl's Best Friend, which they considered a great social enterprise, in that the planner is a planner that's infused with resources for the young people in our community, as well as activity sheets and diagrams that introduce us to the rudiments or the beginnings of personal banking. So it's like a resource tool that not only helps us track our time and track our hours in a day and plan our month out and our weeks. It also gives us insight into how to access vital information that we could use to make things easier or better, especially students. And I focus on the students with the Everyday Excellent Student Planner. Oh, my novel. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I forgot to mention novel. Love Changes. Won the award from the NAACP, and it won the Literary Game Changer Award in fiction, and it was also nominated in the romance category, even though it's not a typical romance format, because in this instance, sometimes the goal in any love story is for us to love ourselves and then love someone else. So in that capacity, it's a fully romantic story because it is a self-love story. But I'm glad to have been honored by the NYCHA branch of the NAACP, which is the New York City Housing Authority branch of the NAACP, because I grew up in Millbrook Houses and Mitchell Houses, and that was in the 70s in the Bronx.
And that was a very different, it was not easy. I can tell you that. I used to visit New York and the Bronx all the time back then as well. I can honestly say I see how far they've come, and we're so proud and thrilled. And to be a, you know, fellow New Yorker, I just love it. I love the Bronx. And and we've had so many folks on the show from the Bronx as well. Now, listen, one of the things I want to talk to you about, so we're going to have you to call us after we wrap up today. And, it's just meeting is because I want to catch up with you about presenting. We are rolling out, this is the first time I'm sharing this with our fans, a Book of the Month Club. And we would be honored if you would help us to get this off the ground right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, where you're able to share highlights and little excerpts from your books, as well as talk to other incredible authors that are in the vein of your incredible work, and bring that to our platform. And so this is we're catching you off guard live on air today. So what do you say? I feel like the guys who asked the ladies to get married, and we're hoping that she'll say yes. What do you say to that, Eartha?
I say yes, and I think that's absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Absolutely. So, listen, we'll talk more about that. So definitely touch base with me, after we wrap, okay, if you get a moment, so we can get you all set up for that.
Now, I want to talk about what's next for you. I know we shared a little bit about that in our first part, and I think we had you on today. So if you missed Eartha's earlier piece, we ran a wonderful piece that we did with you as well, mid-show. So if you missed that, you probably also missed it. You know, Eartha, you moved into some big space. You know, you shared the episode today with none other than Mr. Matthew Knowles. Of course, he is the father to, of course, Beyonce Knowles, one of the biggest stars in the world. So if you missed the show, we're gonna share this entire 3-hour broadcast in just a little bit throughout our social media. And so you'll be able to find it today. And you can also go to Google. It's so easy. Let me just tell you, any Hair Radio morning show that you want to listen to, even if whether we're live or not, all you have to do is type in 5 words. Those 5 words are, again, this is go to Google and do a search. Everybody knows how to do that. And the five words that you type in are the Hair Radio Morning Show.
There we go.
The Hair Radio Morning Show. Those are the 5 words. And all 925 episodes of our work is there. You could listen to us literally until the cows come home.
Okay. Wow.
In fact, the cows will still be out there. You'll still be listening. So we're so excited about what we're doing and the fact that we're able to bring you great talent such as Eartha, and we just love it. We think that this is great, and we're behind literacy. We're behind literacy on this program, and it's something that's why I said we appreciate you coming on and sharing, especially being a part of Natural Hair Fest. So that's my big thing. So now, what's next for you? I want to make sure I said that clearly and got your response again.
Okay. So I have a website now, aplannerisagirlsbestfriend.com, and that's where I am producing the planner series. And I've partnered with Miss Rosa Higgs, who is a 50-plus year educator who was teaching children to read in California prior to them eliminating phonics from the school systems. And this was back when California led the country in reading scores. So once they removed phonics from the school system, Miss Higgs, being an activist, she was part of the collective that was responsible for making Eartha Day a national holiday. So once they took phonics out of the school systems, she got on board and began advocating to get it back. And it took nearly 50 years for them to begin to return phonics to the school systems. But 20 years ago, she developed Read in 40. So I'm her New York City East Coast representative and brand ambassador for Read in 40. Her website is readin40.com. And what we're trying to do is get these kids that are struggling to read able to read in 40 hours of instruction or less. And that's what the brand promises. And she has data behind it. And she had been working hard during the pandemic, volunteering in Berkeley, California, to teach the children to read on the West Coast through an affiliation with the NAACP Berkeley.
Wow. Well, I tell you, your hands are definitely full. Your plate is full, as they say. And with such good and just incredibly important information and so many things that we need to pay attention to. So I have to ask you, who really was your inspiration with this creative process? Anybody you can share, you folks that you might recognize?
Nikki Giovanni, Valerie Wilson Wesley, Terry McMillan, Elin Harris, Yeah, I mean,
wow,
therefore,
all my favorites.
Yeah, those were my favorite authors. And Connie Briscoe is another one. Marsha Hunt, who had written Joy, was another one. I was an avid reader. We had a book club within our family because back then books were so expensive that one or two people would buy the hardcover and we would circulate those books to the rest of us. And we would have a discussion on a phone. You know, a couple of us had three-way calling, and one person would call two people who would call two people, and somehow we would all be on the same phone call talking about the book after the last person
read
it.
So that was like the old party line type idea, kind of emanating out of a little different take on the little game telephone, so to speak. But it was a way to get everybody together to link up, as we say these days, and be able to share the highlights from the book, you know, which is what we're talking about, and that exact concept right here. So I can't wait to have that conversation. I think it's going to be exciting. And so many folks, we need to continue to inspire folks, again, when it comes to literacy and helping folks who are, you know, and I got to say, there are a lot of folks who may not, let me just say the importance of reading and learning to read and all of that. We're 100%, you know, supporting and behind all of that. And it just reminds me when you were talking about the things they've taken out of the schools in California, and they've been doing so much around the nation with taking away. I thought about it. I said, oh, boy, I can't even imagine a school with no phonics. Just like I couldn't imagine when I heard they had stopped in some schools teaching about telling time on a clock, as well as teaching how to write in cursive. I couldn't believe this. I was in shock. I mean, instead of putting more into, you know, educating, but we're taking a little bit of knowledge that we were giving people out. This is crazy. So, listen, go ahead, please, Eartha, please.
No, I'm saying it's sad because we're not equipping them, you know, and they say, oh, well, these kids are going to be typing. They're not going to really. No, even today when you go to a pharmacy and you sign a kiosk, you're signing a signature on a kiosk, you know.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so you need that signature.
It's just crazy that we would. I mean, you can't even rationalize that argument to do something like that. Just crazy. Well, listen, our special guest wrapping up Wednesday's broadcast, of course, we've been chatting with author Miss Eartha Watts Hicks. And the book Love Changes, right? That's the title. We want folks to get this book. So, again, one last push on how they can get Love Changes. Please tell everybody.
Okay, Love Changes. You can find Love Changes on BarnesandNoble.com. The easiest way to find it is to do a Google search, Love Changes, Eartha Watts Hicks. And even if you do an image search on Google, you'll see the book and you'll see me. So that's the easiest way to get it, Love Changes. I also have www.tinyurl.com/lovechangesnovel, and that takes you directly to an Amazon page.
Thank you so much for being with us, Eartha Watts Hicks. And guys, we will see you tomorrow from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern for our Thursday broadcast. And again, more from the Natural Hair Fest over the weekend, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Here's our outro. And thank you. Great job. Okay, don't forget, touch base. All right. We'll see you tomorrow.
It's time again to bring today's edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. On behalf of program creator Carrie Hines and the entire broadcast family, we say thank you to our fans for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy.